Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, it's Sean Coleman. It is Friday and hope that you are well. You have had a great week, and we've had a busy week here at Locked On Grizzlies. A lot of good conversations with some folks around the Southwest Division, talked with some key insiders on the rival, on our rivals, the Pelicans and the Rockets and the Spurs. But now we're going to stick a little bit closer to home, and I am very glad to welcome one of my favorite people when it comes to coverage of the Grizzlies and the organization in general, and that's my fellow Grizzly Bear Blues writer, associate editor, and just all-around good guy, Brandon Abraham. Brandon, how are you doing today?
I'm living the dream, Sean. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. For those that, you know, may remember, and if you don't, I don't blame you for not remembering, the last time me and Brandon officially spoke, I've basically taken him off a hiatus. He's no longer blocked. Brandon, you know, I think he cheated, but of course, Brandon defeated me in the great Grizzly Grizz people Twitter war, whatever it was. I think that he basically found a way to win because he co-created it with a fellow GBBer Parker Fleming. But hey, I don't have any sour grapes. It was a well-earned victory, and I hate you for it, Brandon.
Hey, I understand completely. I've put my burners back in hiding for now. I'll be sure to bring them out to retweet this episode here. But I have them hidden for now, you know, so it's not too obvious. I'm not going to KD it and accidentally, you know, give myself away too much. But no, it's been a while, Sean. Good to talk to you. I'm excited for this episode.
Hey, I'm very excited. There's a reason why I wanted the chance to speak with you. Of course, you can follow Brandon's great work. Brandon has been, you know, the great thing about Brandon is it's a quality mind when it comes to his voice. You can find him on a lot of the GBB podcasts. You can also find his great work when it comes to writing over there, but it's the effort. He's gotten the nickname Mr. Hustle because that's what he does, and that's why we want to speak with him today. Obviously, as we know, we want to talk about the Grizzlies as much as possible, but a good part of that organization is the hustle, and I do want to, you know, talk with about that aspect of things, the G League in general, and just kind of how it plays a part going forward for the Grizzlies. But Brandon, we'll first get your perspective on, you know, the basketball that we do have going on. A lot of exciting games. And the thing about it is that even though the Bucks and the Clippers are not here like we expected, the Heat and Nuggets are. And the great thing about it, unlike, you know, past few years of playoffs, every game is a great one. It's an awesome game. I mean, have you been impressed, especially with the Heat and the Nuggets, but in general, the quality of basketball we're seeing in the bubble right now?
It's been overall phenomenal. I mean, not to, you know, totally just dunk on the Celtics, you know, within the minute of the podcast, but really outside of them just turning the ball over so much late against the Heat, the basketball has just been exceptional. I mean, I think that's a testament to, you know, the four head coaches who remain and really all those that, you know, made the playoffs. And then, you know, the players themselves. I think the bubble environment provides a unique experience where, you know, you don't have the pressures of, you know, really playing on the road or at home in a loud arena. You know, it's the loudest it gets is what your teammates or the opposing team's doing and, you know, the select family members. So I think that kind of has allowed to, you know, the players to play more efficiently, the coaches to be more clear with kind of, you know, their set plays and stuff. You know, you can be on an opposite end of the court and, you know, Frank Vogel can call out a play to LeBron and LeBron can hear him. Whereas, you know, let's say they were in Denver trying to do that, odds are communications are going to be a lot more difficult. So I think, you know, that's one of the bright spots of the bubble is it's really elevated the play over the last couple of months.
I do agree with you completely. And I think another aspect of it that, you know, kind of comes into play is that you are seeing the individual step-ups, for lack of a better word, the individual performances really highlighted. For instance, you saw Donovan Mitchell, you know, in the great, you know, series that he had with Jamal Murray. Of course, Jamal Murray, Jimmy Butler and others, you know, that have really stepped up. And of course, you know, there's Tyler Hero, who was last night's literal hero. But that's another thing about it that you've kind of noticed is that with the Heat especially, I know a lot's been brought up about the fact that with the 13th and 14th pick in the draft over the past few years, they've got Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero. But that's the other thing that you're starting to notice about these teams, I think, Brandon. There's different ways to have success and build yourself into a title contender. And that's really got to, you know, that bodes well for a team like the Grizzlies, don't you think, in terms of how they're getting their rebuild started off?
Oh, I agree 110%. I mean, it's especially you look at a team like Miami, and I know it's where we're kind of going. You know, they've had Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson step up, both guys who played mostly in the G League last year. You know, with the Lakers, you have Alex Caruso. And it really just kind of goes to show that, yes, the Grizzlies have, you know, had success in the draft lottery and the draft getting Jaren Jackson and Ja Morant. But as this team figures to be, you know, outside of the, you know, a lucky bounce, drafting, you know, in the, you know, early to mid teens, potentially next year, you know, depending on how the season goes, you know, you have faith that, you know, the Grizzlies can still go draft that, you know, dynamic wing that could be the third piece with Ja and Jaren long term, you know, other big pieces. You know, there's clearly really good talent at that part of the draft. I know the Grizzlies draft history doesn't leave you to have too much faith in them, but, you know, the new front office, I think, you know, you can be kind of excited that they're going to do well in their scouting, you know, for the 40th pick in this draft, and then wherever we land after next season, you can kind of grow and trust that, you know, these teams playing in the finals now have gone to show you, you can get really good talent, you know, at various spots of the draft. You have the Lakers and Kyle Kuzma as well, who's really stepped up. You know, so it's really just kind of goes to show the talent's there in the draft. You just got to evaluate it and be good at it.
And it's to all different levels as well. You know, it's not just, you know, like, for instance, a Kendrick Nunn who finished second in the Rookie of the Year voting. We won't get into the legitimacy of that. But that level of play. Or Duncan Robinson, who had one of the best shooting seasons from distance that we've seen in a while. It could even be to the point of, like, you know, a Brad Wanamaker for the Celtics as a secondary ball carrier. Or Alex Caruso is kind of a do-it-all, especially on the defensive end type player for the Lakers. It's just that these successful organizations, Denver, Toronto as well, these successful organizations have been able to develop these players and make them key role players. And for a team such as Memphis, I feel this year with their development, how well they developed players, I really think that they could be one of those organizations that can build up some talent you may not expect much from, but do become relevant rotation pieces. Do you get that feeling from Memphis as well?
Completely. I have a lot of faith in this front office. I think they have a pretty good, you know, understanding of where they are as a team and what they need to do moving forward. And I think one of the biggest things looking at, not necessarily the Lakers, but, you know, more particularly Denver. Denver is really the best example. Miami a little bit. You know, they were patient with these guys. Jamal Murray, he was good. He has, you know, grown into what he has become in the bubble. You know, it took him a few years to really kind of step up there. So it kind of, you know, one of my big concerns going forward with the Grizzlies is not as much the front office expectations, but, you know, kind of the general fan expectations. You know, the Grizzlies may not be, you know, two games out of the playoffs next year. They may be kind of where they were, you know, the season prior, where they were middle of the pack. They weren't, you know, top of the lottery, but they weren't fighting for a playoff spot. But, you know, if you allow John, Jaren to grow, you know, Dylan, DeAnthony, you know, the various role players, Grayson Allen, all those guys, you allow them to grow without having the pressure of all of a sudden, hey, we almost made the playoffs last year. We need to make them this year. You know, I don't think the front office has that mindset. You know, I think, you know, they're set up well for the future. They have a bunch of guys who could take, you know, steps into becoming better players. You know, and even if they don't, we have enough good guys to, when it's finally our time to shine, make a move to go get a big name guy.
And I agree with you completely. That's the other thing about the Grizzlies and their you know, success exceeding expectations this year is that they bought themselves time. They have the ability to where they're not going to have to make a drastic move. They can just go with what they've got, with what they've built both on the court and off of it. But like you said, there's a lot of faith in this organization, you know, from coaching hires to development, whatever it may be. It just seems like every move they make almost is the right move. And so there's a lot of cohesion there and chemistry, and there's a lot of confidence as well. We're going to take our first break, and then what we'll do is we'll actually get into the Hustle roster, talk about some key players who I know Memphis fans have a lot of interest in. We'll be right back with you. All right, so Brandon, talking about the Hustle a little bit, and for our listeners who, you know, I actually get just as many questions or inquiries when it comes to players to talk about that play for the Hustle than I do the Grizzlies. Yeah, people want to know about John Jaren, but Dusty Hannes, Shaq Buchanan, a lot of these players. Now, the first question I will ask you is this. So, obviously, you've got Utah and you've got John Concher, who were the two-way players. I believe that both those players are free agents. But these other players that were on the Hustle last year, as far as their contract situation goes, are most of them free agents to where they could go and sign with any organization or any G League team? Is it more than likely they'll wind up, most of the roster will be back next season? How does all that kind of see itself play out in a G League offseason?
So it's real interesting. So pretty much Dusty Hannes over the last, you know, three seasons, Dusty's the only guy who's been with the Hustle all three seasons. So there is a lot of roster turnover because pretty much anyone who's not on a NBA contract, so anyone on the Hustle roster outside of Utah and John at any time are really free to be signed by an NBA team.
Okay.
So, you know, Dusty Hannes, you know, for the bubble when they had that transaction period, a team like Philadelphia could have called Dusty up and signed him away. That's what happened with Matt Mooney in the kind of early stages of last season. He was playing well for the Hustle, and the Cavs swooped in, signed him to a two-way contract. Now, looking ahead to next year, you know, a lot kind of depends on what the players do. Obviously, they all hope to get, you know, NBA contracts from teams, even if it's just a two-way. But let's say, you know, nothing happens. They don't get the contract they want. If they sign another year for a G League contract, the Hustle have their rights. So if Dusty Hannes decides not to play overseas, doesn't get an NBA contract, and he wants to play in the G League, the Hustle have his rights. You know, Jared Udolph, if he doesn't get a contract, Hustle have his rights. So, you know, depending on what happens with these guys in this upcoming offseason, the core very well could be back, but they're also good enough to where, you know, they may be playing these guys. You know, the Grizzlies may have to try and guard Dusty Hannes next year, Jared Udolph. So it's very interesting. You know, a couple of years ago, the Rio Grande Valley Vipers won the, you know, G League championship, and then were one of the worst teams in the league next year because they had so much roster turnover. So it's real interesting. I'm personally, you know, going to keep a close eye on what happens whenever there's kind of resolution and figures out what the G League offseason is going to look like. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of moving parts, especially compared to the NBA.
And that's an interesting thing about it. Of course, you know, it's kind of, to an extent, I guess, a little bit like college, you know, where you could have big turnover, you know, from year to year. But let's talk a little bit about a few of the players. And I mean, especially, you know, Dusty Hannes, Shaq Buchanan, Jared Udolph, and then, of course, we'll come back around to John Concher and Utah. Now, with the three that I mentioned, Hannes, Buchanan, and Udolph, obviously those three players played significant roles for this team this year. And I know Shaq Buchanan is also known in the area from having played at Murray State. But it seems like, I know you had talked about, like, maybe the Nets could have focused on Buchanan before the bubble occurred. Do you feel that these guys get their chance, perhaps, this offseason? And do those three stand out to you as, besides our two-way players, being the guys with the most potential from this past year's Hustle roster?
Yeah, I think without a doubt, those three were kind of the big three. You know, Dusty was the team's leading scorer, you know, shot an insane percentage from the field and from beyond the arc. Shaq Buchanan really kind of came on late once, you know, Josh Jackson got called up, you know, Utah and John started spending more time with the Grizzlies. You know, he kind of showed some explosiveness, you know, ability to really kind of score the ball, play a ton of defense, and, you know, rebound, facilitate. And I mean, Jared Udolph was, you know, I'd say the most underrated player in the G League last year, and he was G League first team. But he just kind of does everything. He's a solid rim protector, can score, can rebound. And I'm interested to see, I don't know if they'll get their shot, honestly. Udolph got a chance. He signed with the Washington Wizards as one of their kind of injury replacement players for the NBA bubble. Didn't get to play too much. I think he got, you know, a handful of minutes here and there. Didn't, you know, do too much. He may be a candidate that the Wizards signed to an Exhibit 10 contract, kind of where the Grizzlies signed Udolph last year, which would kind of give Jared some money. And then at that point, would kind of give the Wizards his G League rights. Dusty, not too sure. Shaq Buchanan, I think, is a prime two-way candidate just because he's shown flashes. You know, he has athleticism. He can really play, you know, three, four positions. But going back to Dusty, he deserves his shot. He's a great three-point shooter. It just takes, I think, the right team kind of giving him his opportunity. His style of play in the NBA compared to what he's doing in the G League, it's kind of night and day. He's really a three-level scorer for the hustle. He really was a solid facilitator last year. You know, he's worked on crashing the glass, you know, his ball handling. But any team that signs him is going to want him to just be kind of like a J.J. Redick, a three-point sniper. And, you know, in a three-point league, I think sooner or later he'll get his chance. I mean, I think all three of them have a pretty good chance to get an NBA opportunity. I'm just not quite sure what it'll look like because, you know, we don't even know what the rosters are going to look like next year. If, you know, there's a little bit more roster flexibility where instead of the usual 17 you're allowed to have on the roster, let's say they expand it to 20, kind of like how it is for preseason, you know, to allow for, you know, COVID-like illnesses, you know, to replace players, you know, so if rosters expand a little bit, I think all three are going to be signed somewhere. If it's, you know, everything next year kind of goes back to the closest to normal we can get, we very well may see these guys in hustle uniforms again.
That's awesome news to hear because, like I say, that's the thing that I think was so smart about the Grizzlies establishing their G League team close to it in a basketball thirsty market like Memphis. You know, it's, you know, as you know from seeing people at the games, which we'll talk a little bit more about in the third segment, you know, it's awesome to see how closely they follow the team. So it's great to hear that, you know, if the players get their chance, that's awesome. But if not, they will be back. But two players who have played in Memphis and two players that I know are fan favorites, Yuta Watanabe, obviously, you know, both here and, you know, overseas. And then a guy that I'm really interested in wanting to get your opinion on is, of course, John Contra. We'll start with Yuta. Now, Yuta has been, if I'm correct, on a two-way contract for the past 2 years. What does that mean as far as his future with the Grizzlies in terms of them being able to, you know, re-sign him and have him for another season? Do you feel that that may be the possibility? From talking with you in the past, it may not be as clear that he would be back.
Yeah, so he initially signed a two-year, two-way contract, and he'll be a restricted free agent this offseason. And just with the gluttony of kind of guard, wing, tweener players the Grizzlies have, I'd suspect he ends up either on a G League team or, you know, on a Exhibit 10 or two-way deal with someone else next year. He's a solid player. He's smart. You know, kind of does a little bit of everything. But at the NBA level, he's just a guy who plays better when he's comfortable.
Okay. And
with a lot of his minutes kind of coming in blowouts and, you know, I think he played 105 minutes last year with the Grizzlies, and I'm pretty sure at least 80 of them were, you know, games where the Grizzlies were up or down by 20-ish points. And so, you know, that kind of hurt his development a little bit. You know, he didn't have a great chance to get comfortable, and he just never looked comfortable really in a Grizzlies uniform. You know, so I think he needs to kind of, you know, be with a team that can give him, you know, decent run where he can have a, you know, a spot in a rotation, even if it's 10, 12 minutes a night. And he's certainly a fine player. It's just with the Grizzlies roster makeup and their needs, Yuta kind of becomes redundant. And so I'd be shocked if they match anything in restricted free agency. They may even renounce his rights just so he can kind of go and negotiate freely.
And it seems like that's really nothing, you know, that much against Yuta. It's just that, you know, with the team makeup of the Grizzlies, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out with one organization, and it's the right thing for both parties to see the player head on to another organization. So I certainly can see your point. Now, one other player that I do know that you, for lack of a better term, when you talk about him, there's certainly a giddiness that you get, and that is John Concher. I know that you had the chance to speak with him. You are a big fan of his, as we all are. He seems to be the type of player who really could fit that mold of spent time in the G League, developed in the organization, became a relevant role player. And, you know, we've talked about the Grizzlies bench. You know, I wrote a few pieces about it. I've talked with you about it before. With Grayson Allen and Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark, and, you know, if we bring back the Anthony Melton and others, they have the potential to stay one of the best benches in the NBA. But Concher seems like he would be a preference. Is his future with the Grizzlies directly tied to what happens with Melton? Or do you feel there's a very good chance the Grizzlies bring him back for a guaranteed contract instead of two-way? I feel like there's a good chance he's a part of our bench going forward.
I agree with you completely. I think whatever happens with D'Anthony Melton will take priority, but I think, you know, I don't think the Grizzlies are going to deal with Melton and then focus on John. I think I'd be shocked if they don't give him a two-year deal or even a three-year deal with a team option on the third year, you know, for something, you know, pretty cheap, you know, to bring him back in the fold next year. He was kind of, you know, he played a little point guard in the bubble is kind of what it was. He kind of, in the last couple of games, came in and was playing point guard kind of, you know, when the games were in blowouts or, you know, put away just enough, he played a little point guard. So I could see him, you know, being a little bit of a, you know, emergency point guard they have off the bench, you know, if, you know, God forbid Justice Winslow and Kyle Anderson get hurt. You know, I think his style of play really reminds me a lot of Alex Caruso. He just does a little bit of everything. He's great on the defensive end. He just makes, you know, pun intended, hustle plays. You know, talking with him, he wishes he was a little bit more aggressive, at least at the G League level, to kind of, you know, more or less show off his scoring powers. But, you know, he had that big game against the Lakers where he, you know, just made things happen, kind of sparked a run that helped them beat the Lakers in FedEx Forum. You know, he's just kind of one of those guys, kind of like D'Anthony Melton, who, you know, even if watching them play, sometimes it doesn't look like, you know, everything's pretty and great. The numbers back it up. I mean, John's an analytics darling. You know, sample size put aside, you know, he was a lot better analytically than Zion in, I think, all but like two categories. You know, so I think the Grizzlies definitely want to bring him back, you know, see what they have in him. You know, nothing too long term, but I think they definitely want to keep him, you know, as part of the rotation going into next year. And, you know, especially if D'Anthony Melton gets a big offer sheet in free agency, I think I think that would actually make Conchar a little bit more of a priority for the Grizzlies. But I kind of expect them to, you know, kind of lock him up pretty early in the free agency period.
And that's the other thing that, you know, you look at with Concher is that, you know, it's not just what he provides on the court. John Concher is a brand. Like, he's got a good personality about him one that stands out? You know, I know that Caruso is a fan favorite among NBA fans and things like that. It seems like Conjure has that off the court potential as well. And so I think that's an added benefit to the culture trying to be built here. I think he would mix in phenomenally with Ja and Jaren and the rest of them and, you know, would be a fan favorite here. He already is, but even to a more, you know, even to a greater extent, if he saw his role expand, I think that's certainly a part to consider about Conjure and his future with Memphis as well. Right.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's, you know, kind of got his own brand. He's, you know, young, kind of like the rest of the team. So, you know, obviously, you know, they all seem to get along pretty well. And one thing with John that I think kind of a lot of people don't focus on and realize when looking at a team's roster makeup, you want guys that, you know, even if they're not contributing 20 plus, you know, minutes a night on the court that are still having an impact. John's a guy that, you know, let's say the Grizzlies sign him next year and he plays in 12 out of 82 games or whatever it looks up. John's a great guy to have in the practice room every single day. He's going to play hard. He's going to play tough. He's going to make you uncomfortable. So, you know, even if he's personally not, you know, taking a leap and scoring 15 points next year, he's going to be making the rest of the team better. The team likes him. You know, they all have fun, you know, talking with him on the Core 4 podcast a couple weeks ago. And he just, you know, they really enjoyed the team's clothes. They enjoyed hanging out with each other in Orlando. And he's just kind of even though he's young, he's a great locker room guy.
And I think that's a great point. You know, a lot of times what allows for people to, as we saw with the Grizzlies, what allows for players to, you know, go above their expected ceilings a lot of time is they're not only playing in a system that features their strengths, but they're also playing in a system where they're confident and happy. And I think Conjure certainly is. There's just a lot of good things to like about Conjure and hopefully gets his opportunity. I look forward to seeing kind of how his story plays out this offseason. We're going to take our last break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Hustle in general and how they could play a pivotal role in the continued growing brand that is the Memphis Grizzlies. We all would love to add healthy benefits to our daily lives, but with the stress and rigors of everything going on, especially this year, as crazy as it's been, it's hard to do. But I may have a solution that makes sense for you. Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and the great thing about it is that it's very versatile. You could have it at any point in the day. You could have it for your breakfast. You could have it before or after a workout. You could have it as an afternoon snack listening to your favorite Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And the other great thing about Built Bar is that it's got a lot of taste to choose from. My favorite is peanut butter, but whatever your taste may be, it likely is going to be one of the options over at BuiltBar.com. And if you go to BuiltBar.com right now and you put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your next order from Built Bar. That's $10 off your next order, but I can tell you this with confidence, it won't be your last. Once you make Built Bar a part of your daily routine, I think it'll be one to stay, and I think that you'll definitely enjoy Built Bar going into the future. Again, if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your next order from Built Bar. Back with Brandon Abraham, Mr. Hustle, who has been kind enough to join us for today's show. Brandon, we talked about, you know, kind of how the G League players have a role, even a, you know, big role with title contenders. We talked about the roster here, but another aspect is Josh Jackson from this season. Now, not necessarily Jackson himself. It seems like the Grizzlies may be parting ways with him. They may not be able to have enough room to sign him, and he didn't seem to be that high of a priority in the bubble. But I think that his story and the opportunity to where he came to Memphis, there was a clear plan for him. And while it may not have been what people wanted, it did work out. He not only seemed to grow as a person, but really seemed to get his career back on track. Again, not Jackson himself, but you've had other players like Tyreke Evans and, you know, even to an extent, Tony Allen, these players who come to Memphis and they're able to really make something out of their careers because of what's here. Do you think with the Josh Jackson situation and with how he was handled on the Hustle, that the Grizzlies could start to find value where they take talented but, you know, troubled figures that may not have their careers going right in one place but can bring them to Memphis and get them and get good value from them going forward, you know, to complete their roster in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think so. I mean, the Josh Jackson situation was obviously a little unique with his off the court troubles in Phoenix and, you know, not wanting to come in and have a negative influence on Ja and Jaren. But, you know, I think other teams take note. And I think, you know, the, you know, Grizzlies fans in general were pretty split on, you know, what ended up happening with Josh Jackson. But I personally, you know, as long as the front office is, you know, up front, you know, there's, you know, clear communication like there was with Josh, you know, I don't see why you can't, you know, use that 14th, 15th roster spot on a guy like Josh or, you know, I mean, Tyreke Evans will probably get an NBA chance somewhere when he gets out of his suspension, but, you know, OJ Mayo, I think he's able to come back to NBA sometime soon. You know, you can find guys or former lottery picks who didn't pan out. You know, you can sign them to a one-year deal, you know, and even make it part of the, you know, contract negotiation. Be like, hey, we're going to sign you. There's not going to be a ton of clear minutes, you know, at the start of the season. You know, want to get you paid, but, you know, we'll have you down in South Haven, you know, for the first couple of weeks, you know, in a premier role to show off your talents. And, you know, depending on how that goes, we can work on getting you a spot in the rotation because, you know, some people just saw Josh Jackson come up to the NBA and play well and were thinking, where the hell was this guy all year? But having covered Josh with both the Hustle and the Grizzlies, there's a lot of things that Josh did, you know, in the month of March that he wouldn't have done if he was getting regular rotation minutes with the Grizzlies in November. Particularly his shot selection, his effort all around on the defensive end. And he really became an excellent passer with the Hustle. Now, he only averaged 4.3 assists per game with the Hustle, but like you could just kind of, you know, see with, you know, passes that maybe didn't result in buckets or, you know, kind of like the hockey assist in a way, but he just really improved as a all-around playmaker on the offensive end instead of just kind of a guy who's, you know, going to attack the basket or shoot a pull-up three. So he kind of evolved offensively, and I think you can certainly find a handful of players, you know, to kind of, you know, low risk, high reward. I mean, just looking at the Grizzlies roster now, Jontay Porter could very well be in that situation next year. You know, if they pick up his option for next year but don't want to commit minutes to him, especially if, you know, prior to a presumed Gorgui Dieng trade next year, Jontay Porter figures to probably, you know, get his first minutes in years with the Hustle down in South Haven before he plays with the Grizzlies. So I think the Grizzlies are going to be kind of trendsetters with that, where other teams may kind of find guys who, you know, have talent, but, you know, for one reason or the other didn't fit with the team, you know, sign them to an NBA deal, but let them kind of warm up in the G League, get ready, get comfortable, and then bring them up when the time's right.
And starting to expand the focus a little bit more when it comes to the Hustle and the relation with the Grizzlies organization. You know, obviously we've got, you know, the COVID, the ramifications of COVID and the pandemic and all that that's going on. So right now finances are not as certain, you know, as they have been. But I do want to say that I feel like that, you know, with the basketball mind of Zach Kleiman, but even to the point of doing small things, like you talked about it last summer, when the Grizzlies were doing their roster moves to make sure that the Hustle players were getting a little bit of extra play. Small things such as that, and Jason Wexler being the business mind that he is, I really feel like the Grizzlies have done well in promoting and utilizing their partnership with the Hustle to expand and you know, make the most of the basketball brand in the setting that they're in. Does it seem like that is the case? And are there other things that you feel they could do to continue, you know, building the Grizzlies brand through how they feature the Hustle, which, I think they've done a great job so far, but is there other things they possibly could do going forward into the future?
I mean, I think they've done great. You know, you know, there's been a Memphis native on the team every year. They've been, you know, the past 3 years, you know, they had Austin Nichols, you know, Johnson, Markelle Crawford, you know, so they find talent that, you know, Memphis Tiger fans, you know, Vols fans like yourself have seen, you know, find players that this region's going to know and, you know, get them playing down in South Haven to kind of draw some interest. And, you know, signing like a lot of this year's Hustle Squad was signed to Exhibit 10 contracts before the year, which gives them a little extra pay. Obviously, I think that's a brilliant move, you know, with the front office not minding paying, you know, a few extra thousand a year to kind of reward these guys. And I think really one of the big things is they've rewarded their G League guys with contracts. You know, Dusty Hanna's got, you know, a 10-day earlier this year. Jared Udoff got one. And part of that's a testament to these two guys are really good players. But it's also just kind of a sign of respect of, hey, you've been, you know, balling down in South Haven. We want to reward you and give you a, you know, a shot, even if, you know, as a team fighting for the playoffs, they didn't get a ton of opportunity at the NBA level. You know, they still rewarded their guys with contracts. They did it the first year when the Grizzlies were terrible. Both Marcus Teague and Amari Johnson got 10-day deals just as kind of a thank you for, you know, kicking butt with the Hustle. So I think they've done a really good job. You know, they market themselves out pretty well out in Mississippi as well. I do think they could utilize the two-way player differently this coming year, and I think that'll be a positive. Yuta's not going to be back on a two-way deal just because you've spent 2 years seeing them. But I think with what they did with John Conchar is interesting. You know, you find a, you know, an undrafted rookie from this upcoming draft, you know, sign him to a two-way deal, you know, shortly after the draft, and, you know, it's essentially kind of like having the 61st pick in the NBA draft. And I think that's a unique perspective that they did last year with John, and it very clearly worked out. Really? I mean, and I guess it's why they're in their positions and I'm in mine. I don't know what more they could really do. They do a good job of building out the Hustle roster with, you know, likable names and, you know, to get fans wanting to come see them, as well as, you know, talented players as well, because no one's going to come watch a bunch of guys they like if they suck. You know, so they kind of round out the roster with good but fun guys to cheer for. You know, thinking ahead like two-way deals next year, you know, thinking of former Tigers. And I know that pains you a little bit, Sean, but, you know, Jeremiah Martin, you know, I've heard a little bit of rumors of, you know, there being some Grizzlies interest with him, depending on his situation with Brooklyn. Chris Gio is a White Station alum as well. You know, so I think, you know, depending on what these guys demand in free agency, I think anybody who has ties to the greater Memphis area will be someone that the front office will look at for the Hustle.
I think that's a phenomenal point, and it's a phenomenal thing for them to market, you know, especially with the fact that, you know, the Grizzlies having the success of their rebuild couldn't have come at a better time than this, especially with the, you know, kind of the revigor, you know, re-energizing of the Tigers fan base with now Penny Hardaway. I know, unfortunately, you know, again, you know, me being a Vols fan, whatever, I still want to see Memphis succeed because obviously I love, you know, the Memphis sports area. But, you know, things have not gone smoothly so far as Memphis goes, unfortunately, at least not as smooth as you would have hoped. But there's that connection point as well, Brandon, is that, you know, like you said, they feature, you know, local talent. Well, when Penny brings them in, you know, not every one of them are going to turn into lottery picks. So you keep those guys around with the Hustle. Well, now these are names that can continue to be known in the Memphis area, and that just benefits the Grizzlies. It benefits Memphis. The way that they have positioned the Hustle, I think, is a great way to just continue to bring basketball back to the level that it has been in the past, especially when the Tigers and the Grizzlies are both on the upswing. So I think that's a wonderful point. But another thing, and the final question that I'll ask you about, is another name that, you know, was tied to the Tigers but eventually went to the G League as part of the new movement where some of these higher-profile prospects, prep prospects, are now going to consider going to the G League instead of college. Of course, we're talking about Jalen Green. Now, him and others have made it clear that they're going to the G League instead of college, kind of as their, you know, 1 year before the NBA draft. There's been a lot of talk about what that will look like and that they are going to play in the G League and they're going to be incorporated in the regular G League schedule. You know, what knowledge do you have about that? That's going to be a new thing in terms of the NBA overall that's going to start the season. Of course, all that's going on, you know, doesn't make it ideal, but it is going to get the go ahead. So these Uber prospects, these well-known prep names that are going to the G League, kind of what's going to be the expectations from them, and how is that all going to work out as far as going into next year goes?
It's going to be really interesting. My understanding is the makeup of this G League, they're calling it the G League Ignite. This team, the roster makeup is going to be a lot of these high-profile prospects who are choosing to skip college and go to the G League. And it's going to be mixed with them and some old NBA veterans. So, I mean, you may look at someone like, you know, Jamal Crawford, who wasn't signed until the Nets had like 8 open spots on their roster. You know, so someone like Jamal Crawford could be a great fit, you know, to mentor these guys on the roster, as well as kind of, you know, a new way for them to prove their worth, you know, to get signed to an NBA deal. But the team itself is going to take part in about 10 to 12 exhibition games against G League opponents. So it won't really have any, you know, effect on the G League season as a whole. It's almost like the G League teams that get, I guess, randomly chosen. They'll probably be most of the teams that are out west. So I'm not sure if the Hustle will play them, but it kind of seems like these are going to be like little scrimmages to get these guys, you know, some exposure, some game time experience against the G League teams. And for the most part, they're going to be in Irene, California, just practicing, working out, and, you know, really kind of getting ready for the NBA. And what better way to get ready for the NBA than with a former head coach, NBA coach, and Brian Shaw, with some vets on the team, and really kind of, you know, presumably scouts should have pretty good access to it, to the team. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, especially with the financial implications of, you know, COVID-19. You know, they'll make pretty good money off of, you know, streaming or showing these exhibition games on TV. You can even do kind of like a, you know, little mini series like the Grizzlies do with Beyond Grit, where you show them practicing, working together, scrimmaging one another. You know, so I think the G League will definitely utilize that, but it'll be interesting to see what the G League ends up doing with this new path that they've set for elite college prospects to go before going to the NBA. And I do think the one and done deal will eventually just be abolished. And if that's the case, I don't know what'll happen to the G League Ignite, but, you know, there's also the possibility that, you know, the NBA doesn't have to really proceed with abolishing the one and done rule, and instead could almost create their own mini NCAA bubble out in California with a, you know, create another team or two and get all the elite prospects. It'll be really interesting to see what they do, but I think it'll be fun. It'll be exciting to watch. You know, instead of getting 20 to 25 games with Jalen Green, you know, fans are going to get 10 to 12. So people are going to tune in to watch.
And Brandon, you know, we could spend a whole other show talking about this subject, but I'll just ask you real quickly. You're a fan of Memphis, and Memphis has had a lot of success when it comes to high-profile names recruiting. You know, me being a fan of the Vols with Rick Barnes, we have had some of our best recruiting success in the history of our program recently with some really big names. But if they start to expand this, you know, a lot of these big names may choose to do that instead of, you know, going the college route. Are you a fan in general of that, being a college fan? I know you may understand it, but do you think that it will have that big of an impact on college, you know, since more marquee names may go the route of being kind of in an NBA affiliate league instead of college?
Personally, I'm a fan of the direction it's going. I mean, as a Tiger fan, I would have preferred Jalen Green, you know, signing with Memphis, you know, especially with the way the rest of the signing period went. You know, the Tigers could really use Jalen. I think this will be fine next year, but, you know, it would have been awesome to watch Jalen in a Tigers uniform next year. But at the same time, cannot blame, you know, 18, 19-year-old kid for turning down the bag. I mean, Jalen's getting paid $500,000, you know, compared to, you know, theoretically getting nothing from the NCAA. Insert whatever Penny Hardaway jokes and other college basketball jokes you want to make, but theoretically he goes from making nothing in college to making a crap ton of money to live out in California and play basketball. It's a pretty easy decision. Now, I think the NCAA will need to kind of, you know, work on some things to kind of combat this new G League initiative. But as a Tiger fan, you know, no college basketball fan, it's going to stink not getting to see Isaiah Todd, you know, Jonathan Kumunga, Jalen Green, all these guys playing at the college level. But it's one of those sitting back and thinking it. I can't blame any of them at all for deciding to forego college and go to the G League.
Hey, if you're a Memphis fan, Memphis basketball fan, and you want to see an elite player, just give it a year and then turn into the SEC Network, and you'll be able to watch Kennedy Chandler all that you want to. Completely joking.
I, as a Briarcrest alum, nothing bad to say about Kennedy Chandler. I'm surprised, you know, with his interest in the color orange, but I am excited to watch him with the Vols.
I am in general excited about, you know, the third matchup this year. Hopefully, you know, everything works out. I would love for it to continue to go. But, you know, we could sit here and joke back and forth about the Balls and the Tigers, you know, all the time. But, you know, I do agree with you in general. I do think that, you know, and another byproduct of it, I think that could happen is that a few of these elite names potentially go into, you know, the G League and, you know, you see college have to adjust. Maybe it leads to positive adjustments on the whole for the NCAA, you know, cleaning up some of the negative stuff that obviously Memphis fans know about. You know, if the stars that make your product what it is now have an alternative, maybe you need to make the product itself better. So maybe that could be a byproduct of all this as well. Brandon, this has been wonderful getting to talk with you. I know that there are a lot of people who, you know, seek knowledge on the G League and, you know, what's going on with it. How is its relationship with the NBA? You know, how do players, you know, see their careers go from G League to NBA? So thank you so much for the insight. Where can folks follow you? What do you have coming up in the near future? And what do you have going on this offseason?
I just want to say thanks for having me, Sean. It's been a blast. Always fun getting to talk. You know, someone as knowledgeable with you as NBA and, you know, G League, you know, you definitely did your homework, you know, that's obviously appreciated. And then, you can find me on Twitter at BC Abraham. Pretty simple there. And, you know, I'm like you this off season, just kind of figuring out what the heck's going on with the NBA. With GBB, we have a series starting next week where we're kind of picking back up our draft prospects. With the draft set for November. So we're going to kind of start reviewing some names that the Grizzlies are going to be looking at with the 40th pick, as well as some potential free agents, kind of free agent profiles, you know, names that have been linked to the Grizzlies by various national media outlets. So I'll be, you know, doing a handful of those as well. And other than that, just looking forward to listening to more content from GBB, from Locked On Grizzlies, all of your writing, Sean. It's always a blast getting to read your work. You know, just frankly, just enjoying the little bit of basketball we have left before an off season of unknown comes.
As I've always said, one of the reasons why I enjoy so much the opportunity that's come my way to be able to do these shows and to do these podcasts and to write for GBB is interacting with people who I share passions with. Well, I can tell you this, it's also just interacting with great people, and that certainly is something that Brandon is, not only in his effort and in the quality of his work, but just in general being a good person. So, Brandon, it's been my pleasure to talk with you this evening and, you know, for the show in terms of what to look forward to in the G League and the Grizzlies this offseason. Thank you so much for joining us. Brandon, if you'll stick around for just a second after the show, you can find the show at Locked On Grizzlies. You can find myself at StatsSAC. You, like Brandon said, you can find him at BC Abraham on Twitter. You can also follow the podcast anywhere podcasts are available. Check us out at GBB. But thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.